Epistle to Titus, chapter 2.
But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is on the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee.
Titus has a very important work to do. I don't know how many cities were there on the island. According to the instruction that the Apostle Paul has given him, Titus is supposed to or expected to ordain elders and bishops in every city. I would assume that's in every congregation. These are going to be the stewards of God, blameless, faithful in everything. These believers were faithful and blameless before their ordination, and now, after their ordination, they're going to be even more prayerful, even more careful, even more striving to serve the Lord and fellow believers. Their work is not going to be easy, just as the work of Titus is not easy. In the verse number 10 of the first chapter, we read that there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, households, families, teaching things they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. And among professing believers there are liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. The last verse of the first chapter says they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate. And yet they are professing believers, and perhaps someday some of them are going to be genuine believers. What is a faithful minister, a steward of God, going to do in that kind of a situation? Well, first he will be very prayerful, meditate on the word of God. Remember that this is the Lord's business, not his private business. Working with the Lord, we can have no losses. He also must keep close fellowship with the faithful ones, and they together should encourage one another. They together should have prayer meetings and meditate on the word of God and share among themselves mutual loving kindness, charity, and encouragement. For these unruly professing believers, there is a long path until they come into obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, to become sound in the faith, and at times, perhaps more frequently than anyone would desire, they would have to be rebuked sharply. But everyone, every steward of the Lord, executing that sharp rebuke, will do it in order and with the desire that they may be sound in the faith. In the beginning of this chapter 2, Paul is saying to Titus but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. In the Epistle of James chapter 1 verse 27 is telling us, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. In this verse number 1 in Titus 2, Titus is instructed to speak the things which become sound doctrine. It's not a special, great, mysterious revelation. It's not knowing foreign languages and the languages of long ago. These are very practical, simple instructions how to practice the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The aged men to be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. Every believer should be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. Here in this chapter, every group, every segment of the body of Christ, every group of believers is given what is going to help them to overcome temptations of their age or their situation. Aging or the old age is bringing some difficulties. There is not much more to be expected in this life. The aging people will never become young again. Perhaps their vision is getting weaker, their hearing is not as good as it used to be, their physical strength is gradually decreasing, and some of them might be more often sick than healthy. Satan might be tempting the aging men to find their relief and their comfort in alcoholic beverages or some other drug. Those that are expecting the return of the Lord Jesus Christ and counting carefully the remaining time of their pilgrimage should not seek comfort and relief in forgetting the reality. They should find their comfort in prayers and meditations on the Word of God and waiting for that final call to go home to be with the Lord. No matter how old one Christian gets, he or she may not become irresponsible. We are the stewards of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we get so old that we are not able to participate in the house chores or the regular work of the other adults in our households, it might be easy to lose the temper. But here we are encouraged to control ourselves and to let the Spirit of the Lord control us. We should pray and strive to be sound in faith, not senile in our behaviors and manners. It is very important that we keep ourselves sound in faith, that we study the Word of God. And even if we are so old that we cannot read anymore, as long as we can hear, we should ask the others to share the Word of God with us. Nowadays, there is scripture reading recorded, there is Bible sharing recorded, there are messages of godly people on records for us. Perhaps we have something recorded from our own sharing of the scripture, and that also can be helpful and useful, that we listen to that we be refreshed and receive new strength and encouragement on the path of righteousness and salvation. We might not be able to earn so much to share a lot of our substance as we used to when we were younger, and yet there is always something we might be able to do. The Lord Jesus Christ said, if anyone will offer to you a glass of fresh water in the name of a disciple, he is not going to lose his reward. At times, small things have a great significance. I remember some aging believers that helped me a lot when I was a new convert. Charity is a marvelous gift of the Lord. In our old age, we might be tempted to become impatient because our health is weakening, the difficulties are multiplied, and at times it may appear to us that no one is understanding us and no one cares. These are the snares of Satan. The devil would like us to discredit and not to believe to other believers around us. Soberness, gravity, good temper, sound faith, charity, and patience are all together sound doctrine in practice. The elderly women in the faith also have special instruction for them that is not to be refused by all the others. Their behavior, their manners should reflect the inner holiness. We all are separated from the world, and we all should be united in the Spirit of Christ. Behaving in holiness means also encouraging holiness in the others. As we are aging, at times we might be under a very strong impression that nothing is as good nowadays as it used to be when we were young. And the younger people around us are not doing anything as well as we used to when we were young. This kind of a feeling or opinion is not necessarily holiness. It is true that the times are changing. Some things that were very important in the social structure, customs and traditions when we were young, 50 or more years ago, seem not to be as important to the newer and younger generation. But most of those things should not be very important to us. Chances are that we overvalued some things of the worldly customs. It might be possible that our younger brothers and sisters, or at least some among them, are godlier than we. In the Epistle to the Romans, in chapter 12, in the verse 10, I read, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another." Those that are much younger than we are not excluded from this duty of ours. In our prayers, we should ask the Lord to add to us charity toward our younger brothers and sisters. That way, we will be able to give them a good example. That's a sound doctrine. Our enemy is the old accuser of his brethren. He can try to misguide us in the same direction after him and not after the Lord. False accusers are not having real base for their accusation. They have wrong impressions, bad impressions, and they often take that as a reason for false accusations. Even if we see a brother or sister doing something that is not exactly the best example, accusations are not the way of admonishing one another. We should pray for one another, and we should strive to be a good example and encouragement toward a good behavior and good godly manners. A small amount of wine could be healthy and helpful for the digestive system of aging people. But we should be on guard that nothing, food nor drink, become a bad habit, something that has power over us. There is work to be done by both aging men and aging women. We all can be teachers of good things, but especially a friendly, loving, warm, aging sister. I still remember some faithful, godly sisters that helped me a lot when I was a young believer. I think that precious memory will remain with me as long as I am a pilgrim down here. In 1st Epistle to Timothy chapter 2, Paul writing about the beautiful manners of godly women. In the verse number 12, Paul is saying, I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man. And here in the Epistle to Titus chapter 2, verse 4, and the last part of the verse number 3, aging sisters are instructed, encouraged to be the teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober and to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Here the aging sisters are encouraged to do some teaching, to exercise God-given gift of teaching that perhaps hardly any brother could do as well. An older sister teaching the younger sisters. The aging men are instructed to be sober, and now we hear here that the young sisters should be sober too. There is no believer which should not be sober, and this soberness is in thought, in understanding, and also keeping ourselves from using too much alcoholic beverage. Another important lesson for the young women is to love their husbands and to love their children. I wonder what would be the teaching of the older women teaching the younger women. How would they teach them to love their husbands and their children? Is that not a natural thing? I believe it is a natural thing. Family, love, loving our spouses, loving our children, it is natural. It's also one kind of satanic deception that what we have, we discount and do not value up to the full value of it. It's important that we don't take God's gifts for granted, but rather to be grateful, husbands for wives and wives for husbands, and together for the children, and not to think that the children are our possession, our property. We can do it whichever way we want to. We are the only one in charge. That's not the case. The children are not the possession of the parents. It's parents' stewardship to the Lord to raise the children in the respect of God and His Word and in the nourishment of Christ's teaching. If the younger sisters, young wives and young mothers are instructed to exercise love for their family, it would be reasonable to expect that the husbands would increase their love for the family as well, and the children would follow the example of the parents. These are all sound doctrines of the gospel, gospel in our everyday walk. The list of the lessons for the young women, young wives and mothers seem to be the longest one here. And yet most of these virtues, most of these good spiritual lessons for everyday practice of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, most of these virtues are good and usable and necessary for every believer. Discretion, chastity, keeping the household in good order. We all need to practice discretion, to be considerate, not to be light-minded. We must keep ourselves from any impurity in our relationship one with another, in our conversations, in our behavior in general. Keeping the household in good order is part of a good Christian testimony. A messy, filthy house, overcrowded, neglected, is a very poor testimony, something that is not pleasing the Lord, but rather giving Satan a weapon against the gospel and the Lord Jesus Christ's honor and reputation among the unbelievers. In a family where both the husband and the wife are loving one another and together loving the children, The children live in a secure environment and they have a good opportunity to see the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in practice. Here in the verse number 5, the fourth lesson is to learn to be good. How can one be good? What is included? What is involved in having that goodness? Looking for an opportunity to do something that is good and pleasing to the others. Having this habit, this gift of being good, is especially easily noticeable in the way and manner how we deal with the younger and with the small children. Are we respectful to our subordinates? If a wife is subordinate to the husband and yet very harsh, rough with the children, it might be a very poor testimony, and also the children might get misguided. Young Christian wives are instructed to be obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. I think that this might be more addressed to the wives of unbelieving husbands. Godly behavior, godly manners in a mixed marriage could be a very successful testimony of the wife toward her husband and the other way around. In the verse number 6, young men are taught and exhorted to be sober-minded. This does not mean that all the believers are like statues made of wax. The Christians have more reason to be cheerful than the unbelievers. But for a Christian, for a believer, being in a good mood, being cheerful, must not give any place to anything indecent, improper, thoughtless. Soberness is a common virtue for all the believers. In the verse number 7, Titus himself is encouraged by the Apostle Paul to be a good example to all the others in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, uncorruptness. I understand this pattern of good works is not a combination of good and evil works, or doing a few good things and then taking a long break. It's a pattern, it's a way of living. A sincere gospel worker may not compromise the teaching of the gospel. We may not change the teaching of the gospel in any way. No delusion is acceptable to the Lord, delusion in order to please and satisfy the disobedient. The gospel teaching is a very serious duty of every believer, especially those that are in charge of churches or groups. At the end of the verse number 7, Paul is reminding Titus of sincerity. Dishonesty and hypocrisy is an offense to the Lord. The speech of every minister should be sound, spiritually healthy, designed to honor the Lord and edify the believers. Sound speech accompanied by sound practice of the sound teaching cannot be condemned. Oh yes, the enemy will condemn everything that is good. But before the Lord and in the sight of sincere believers, the sound speech and godly living will be an encouragement and a good godly example. In the world, there will be those that are contradicting the gospel and looking for an opportunity to blame the people of the Lord for anything. We must keep ourselves from dishonesty and hypocrisy. Honesty does not mean telling everything to everyone. We must also be considerate and wise to know what is good for a brother or sister to know and what is better for them not to know. The people opposing the gospel are very proud when they can put to shame the believers. When the believers share among themselves charity and loving kindness, mutual respect and understanding, and when they are known among the unbelieving neighbors and the rest of the community in this world, wherever they live, as honest and decent people, reliable people, reliable workers, then those that are against the gospel, if they try to put to shame the people of the Lord, they will put to shame themselves. Their public accusations will return against themselves when the rest of the people, believers and unbelievers, know that the accusations are false. In all of this we can see that the quiet Christian life is not aimless and idle. There are many opportunities to share our testimony, our faith in the Lord, with the believers and with the unbelievers. May the Lord help us and keep us prayerful, that we would be salt to the earth and light to the world, a living testimony of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's grace and abundant goodness of our Heavenly Father upon all those that trust and obey our Master Jesus Christ. Practicing good godly manners in our daily walk from the beginning of our faith, from the time of our conversion, and through all the years as long as we are pilgrims here in this world, is a good testimony to the world. It's like the light in the darkness. It also makes our pilgrimage among ourselves within the fellowship of the like-minded believers, the believers in Christ, more enjoyable, more delightful, and it's an encouragement and strengthening for each individual soul. It also is helping very much to have these principles, these good habits and guidelines rooted in our system, so that even when we are old and our understanding is getting weaker, as the more experienced believers are instructed and encouraged to teach the young ones, so in the old age of the aging believers, the young ones are very helpful in protecting those whose mind and understanding is weakening. We all need one another, and we should all of us pray for one another, encourage and help one another, and be like the members of the same body, knowing that the head of our body is Christ the Lord, our Savior, our Master, our proper owner of soul and body, time and strength, mind and heart, our whole being. Everything belongs to Him and Him alone.